these messages, I have a pattern. One, I mention the title, I draw a line through it. Then what I do is maybe put down between one and three or four scriptures to back up what my commentary is going to be. After the scriptures, I draw a line under there to separate it. And then I do the commentary, then I draw a line under that. And then I say, okay, now how to pray for this. And then I'll put, and then I put a line through there, how to pray for unceasingly or without ceasing, always. And then I'll put a line through that and then write a couple of 1 to 4 or 5 scriptures pertaining how to pray for it so that you can see that that's exactly the way that the Bible says to pray for it. Then I'll draw a line through there and make a short commentary, and that'll be it. And I try to make them short so that people can remember them. And that's the way the Lord makes them. It's just short, but to the point. Okay. All right, so let's start out. This is prayer message number 25. Okay. Okay, we've gone through 1 through 25, and I'm going to go, Lord willing, all the way from 1 to 30 or 31. And then from then on, we may read a Bible chapter every day or something and comment on it on the tapes. Okay? All right, so let's go.
Day 25 prayer message. Pray for more conversions.
Right. All the time I'm hearing from New York and Los Angeles, we need more people over here. And so I tell them, pray for more converts and then go out and win them. The disciples, some of them stated that we will give ourselves entirely to prayer and to minister in the Word. Because without ministering in the Word, you're praying that God will open up people's hearts, then you minister the Word, and that's how converts are won. You don't win souls by just prayer. It has to be with prayer, and then you have to win them by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. It has to be the ministering of the Word. We say that the Bible says the foolishness of preaching the gospel because to the world that seems foolish. But we know that the preaching of the gospel by the Spirit of the Lord and through intercession, the Lord is going to anoint the words and make it possible for people to understand those words better, and the Spirit will cut into them. The Spirit of the Word will cut into them and cause them to glorify Jesus, and that gives Christ the power to intercede and convert them. Because once they honor Christ and say, oh, this is the truth, then that brings about conversion, okay? And then he can convert them. And so he cannot convert them unless the fear of the Lord or the Spirit causes them to fear the Lord and exalt him, so that he can immediately, through his intercession, bring them to repentance and convert them. Okay, so we are the Lord, and we must work together, right? Okay, so go ahead.
Quote, he is able to save them to the uttermost, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession.
He, Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for them, to convict them of their sins. The Spirit convicts the person of their sins, their conscience, and then they don't look at Christ as just nothing anymore. They look up to him, and they honor him. He is exalted in their hearts and in their minds and in their souls to where they can be converted. Okay, then what?
That was Hebrews 7:25.
That's what it's saying there. Okay, then what?
Quote, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Acts 6:4-7.
So when they gave themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, then the disciples of the new converts were multiplied exceedingly. So we need more converts. When there's so much work for us to do, and we're doing it all over, we need more people in the mailroom. We need more cooks. We need more. We could use a few doctors and lawyers and people like that to work in the administration, the office. We could use. There's not even enough people to be riders, to ride with the truckers. There's not enough truckers. We need more converts. We need them not just to do those kind of jobs, but to get the gospel, distribute more literature, to preach the gospel, and to pray more. We need all these thousands of souls to pray to the Lord, because the Lord hears and causes His Spirit. He intercedes for us when we're preaching, and to the souls, the new converts. Okay, then what?
Christ's power to save, and save completely, depends on His unceasing intercession.
Right. If there's no intercession and no ministry of the Word, then there's no souls. Okay, then what?
After the apostles withdrew themselves completely to prayer, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. They gave themselves also to the ministry of the Word. Let us give ourselves also to intercession and ministry of the Word every day. We will be given more power and will have a closer walk with the Lord and more powerful conversation with Him as we pray strongly for this. Christ will be exalted to the unsaved to the extent to give repentance to them when they cry for it.
Right. So when you're praying and ministering the Word in the Spirit, then Christ is exalted. Read that again. He's exalted to do what?
To the unsaved, to the extent to give repentance to them when they cry for it.
Right, because He's exalted in their souls and in their spirits to where He can cause regeneration. They'll cry out for it. They'll cry out to be regenerated. He'll hear the prayer of an unsaved person if it's asking for salvation. But that's the only prayer that the Lord will listen to of an unsaved soul. It's when they cry out for repentance, to be converted. And conversion is not just when they say the prayer, but conversion is they are no longer a worldly person, but they are a person that is of the kingdom, and they immediately just have the desire to work in the realm of the kingdom of heaven. They want to walk in the Spirit. They want to hear the Word. They want to spread the Word. They want to pray that souls will be converted. That's the first love, is they love to see souls converted, as they get to preaching, just like when they received the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were preaching, and they were ministering to the young baby Christians, because baby Christians or young converts will, many of them are unattended to, and they backslide, they fall, they actually go back into the world if they are not attended to. If there's no ministering of the Word to them on a continuous basis. And so that would be the message number 26. Regarding that sort of thing. Okay, then what else?
The church will continue to exist with Christ's holy purpose.
Yeah, if we do those things, we pray intercessory prayer, and souls are being converted, the church will continue to exist. But if you don't have new converts, the church people just die off and fall away, and there will be no more church. You can't, people... There can be no church existence of any body of Christ if there isn't the ministration of the Spirit and intercession. Because you fall away if you're not interceding for new converts and for all the things that you've been told to pray for in this school of intercession. You cannot stand, because your power, the Lord's power, will eventually decrease in you to the point to where there won't be any power in you at all to stand yourself. You will definitely backslide, fall away from the Lord. And the Lord promises that there will be a great falling away. People will stop interceding in the latter days. the love of many will wax cold. In other words, they won't care about seeing other souls saved, and there'll be a falling away from the church. Okay, then what?
The church will continue to exist with Christ's holy purpose and promise.
Yeah, if you intercede, then what else?
Of having more conversions. Let us not be ashamed to confess our sin and weakness for perfection.
Right. What is sin? Sin is, for a Christian, is to stop interceding. It's a sin not to pray. And that's mentioned in the book of Samuel. Okay, then what?
And cry out to God for more conversions throughout the world. And for all who you know and love.
Yeah, throughout the world, and even the ones in the United States, and the ones in your church, your own church, you see them falling away because you see them not interceding. They don't want to go to the prayer services anymore. They don't want to attend services. They're on their last legs when this occurs in a church. And, you know, they think, well, the message has worn off of me in a week or two. The persons that do that are not established in the Spirit. And they keep thinking that there's something more important to do than get their souls established and see new converts and to see the church, the body of Christ, increase or to multiply. You're going to fall away if you begin having such an evil attitude. Then what?
Pray in deep humility. Quote, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs.
Okay, how to pray in deep humility. Okay, so there was a woman that had a daughter that had problems. And so he says, no, we don't, the message is strictly for the children, not for, which means Israel, not for the Gentiles. And she answered back, truth, Lord, then go ahead.
Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs, dot, dot, dot. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, you, even as thou wilt. Matthew 5:27-28.
Okay, now this woman had true humility because she acknowledged that the Word of God is true and that she didn't get offended when the Lord stated to her that she was a dog, the Gentile, the rabbis. I mean, a lot of the rabbis in the world feel that it's not wrong to have relationships, extramarital relationships with Gentile women, because he said they're just dogs anyway. They're not really going to heaven. They're all going to hell because they're all prostitutes. They're all whores. And I had a born-again rabbi tell me that. And a bunch of rabbis were in the meeting. It was over in Florida. And they got madder than a bunch of hornets at him for revealing some of the secrets of the rabbis. But they all think that way, that the Gentile women, anything other than a Jew, is a dog, like a prostitute. But, you know, when a woman is saved, then they're not supposed to be Gentiles any longer. So this was a form of humility. And before you're saved, even if you're saved and you're not walking in the Spirit doing the things of the Lord, then you're a dog. You're like a dog that's gone back to its vomit, because you're not keeping the Spirit of God alive in you. You're not allowing the Spirit of God to work in you, to intercede in you, and to use you to minister the word that others can be saved, that there can be more converts added to the church, and that after they're saved, that you're not letting the Spirit of the Lord use you to be an example before them. And so you are a dog. You're not humble. You're before the Lord. So humility is not saying, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog. You're not a dog if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're far from being a dog. You're humbling yourself because you know that you would be a dog if you weren't walking in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you're a son of God. You're the body of Christ. You're the church. You're the New Jerusalem. You're the bride of Christ. You're the temple of God. not a dog. But if you know, if you think that you're humbling yourself by saying you're a dog, no, all you're doing is confessing that you're not walking in the Spirit. And that isn't, that is like, you're just telling people that you're a dog. Now this woman said, yes, the dogs, because she's not at this time serving the Lord, she just wants something from the Lord. And she's admitting that she's a dog, but can we just have some of the crumbs? So that is a true sense of humility, but it isn't the kind of humility that we want. We're more than conquerors in Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. We're His church. And the only time you're going to be a dog, and then you're have humiliation when you say, Lord, I want to stay in Your Spirit because I know without You, I'm a dog and a devil. I'm devil possessed. I've got to stay in You. This is true humility. Some people will say, well, she was really humble, and she was. But I want to know that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm no dog. I'm the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body, a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of His church, the redeemed. Okay? And because I'm going to make sure the Spirit of God is going through me at all times and into me and through me to others. I'm going to try to convert people. I'm going to let the Lord use me to convert people and to bring them up to a point to where they become established. That means that they don't need somebody to constantly preach it, that they're preaching to themselves and they're reading the Word and let it ministering to them, so that, and then that they go out on self-starters and get souls themselves, and that they're in constant intercession for souls. They stay busy. Okay, then what?
You feel unworthy and unable to pray aright. To accept this heartily, to be blessed in your unworthiness, is humility. It proves its integrity by not seeking anything but to simply trust His power, His promise, His truth, His ability to do what you ask.
So you prove your worthiness or your integrity by just believing that doing these things is the right thing to do. That's how you prove your humility and your integrity towards the Lord, that you know that you're nothing without Him, okay? And that you can't do anything without Him. Right there, laying yourself as a helpless person without Him and admitting it and knowing it and confessing it and confessing anything that might be on your soul so that the Lord can take you like this and work with you and be your God. That's what the Lord is looking for. Okay, then what? That's humility.
It is the strength of your great faith that gets a full answer.
Yeah. Your faith is your strength to get an answer from the Lord, whatever you're praying for. Then what?
Quote, yet the dogs, let this be your prayer as you drive into the Lord, or anyone who could be a possession of the devil. Don't let your
opinion... Yeah, pray for those that might be a possession of the devil. That they become possessions of the Lord. And you can see them. Don't just say, oh man, that person is a possession of the devil. I don't want to... You don't have anything, but you pray for them so that in case God just wants you, He put that person on your heart, you can see that there's something wrong with them. Just like you see all these pornography people and things like that, pray for them because they are down at the bottom of the pit. And once those kind of people get saved, they'll those that have been forgiven much will love much if they're really truly thankful for the Lord having saved them and taken them out of such a pit. Is that out of these Satan worshiping groups as well?
Don't let your opinion of yourself be small anymore, for in God's Spirit you are not a dog, but are complete, perfect in Him, and a conqueror, even more than a conqueror. If you think of yourselves a dog, it will hinder your possibility of the answer. Without him, we are dogs. With him, we are sons of God. His bride, his church, his very body, the New Jerusalem.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for that.